Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 165 of the World of Goldcraft. I am your host, as always, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com. Now, welcome back to the show. If you're following along live, make sure that you post any questions you have in chat, and I'll answer some of them at the end. And if you're not following along live, then, I mean, you can join us on Thursdays at twitch.tv/lazygoldmaker. So I'd suggest doing that. Now, today I'm going to be talking about the big news this week. Blizzard announced some pretty significant policy changes and some planned changes to the game. So that's what we will be covering. But before we dive into that, I'm going to plug my Patreon that if you subscribe there, you will get access to my full TSM setup. So if you're interested in that, then head over to patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. So, what happened this week? Well, there were two big changes or two big things that Blizzard announced. Number one, a policy change where boosting communities are now banned. And the other one is that in 9.2.5, you will be able to do cross-faction groups for instance content. So Alliance and Horde players can do M+, Raids, Arena together. Both of those are pretty big. We're going to do the first one first, the boosting communities. Now, boosting has been probably the biggest way that gold has flowed through the game for quite a while now. There's nothing quite on the scale of boosting when it comes to gold. Just the total quantity of gold being moved through boosting communities is absolutely incredible. Which isn't surprising, offering access to the best gear and the hardest content in the game. That's obviously something that people will want. And they've wanted it a lot, and the boosting communities have gotten really, really good at providing that. Over the last couple of expansion, boosting has gone from like, yeah, okay, small boosts, people selling like heroic end bosses that drop a mount at the end of expansions, which happened all the way back, I remember as far back as Hellfire Citadel at the end of Warlords of Draenor, to the current where they're offering everything, anything you can think of. And they've gotten really good at it. So obviously there's a huge demand side, tons of people wanting boosts for multiple different reasons. And just an absolutely incredible amount of boosting communities with a huge infrastructure of advertisers, gold escrow, all of the services to make sure the boosters are good enough at the game, etc. And obviously all of the people doing the boosts, it's just an absolutely incredibly large ecosystem that Blizzard has now yanked or tried to nix quite a bit. There's a lot of arguments for and against boosting. I'm not going to go in depth into them. Some of you will be familiar with my stance that at a certain point of efficiency, boosting will be bad for the game. Because it will just remove a lot of players from organic LFG activities. Because boosting is such a great deal. Either because you'll get paid or because you know that the group is going to be hassle-free, quick, and easy. And eventually that's just going to take too much of the population out of the normal or at least seemingly intended method of group formation. Whether you do that by through friends directly, through guilds, or through the LFG tools in the game. Now, obviously, there's a huge demand for boost, which suggests that there are some game design issues, potentially. Why are so many people interested in buying boosts rather than playing the game as intended? That's an important question for Blizzard to look into and try to answer with some changes to potentially the reward loop and game mechanics, but we're not going to go into that. If you're interested in that, I'd highly suggest watching Bellular's videos on boosting. He made two videos that are incredibly in-depth, interesting, and they cover a lot of the... I agree with him on a lot of points. So, yeah. We're also not going to go too much into the, let's say, grayscale, gray area, potential RMT, what are the boosting communities doing wrong or not. I don't have that much insight, and we're not gonna bother, except to say that, well, one very large, very reputable gold-only boosting community has been banned for RMTing in the past, so presumably more of them are engaging in it in the fringes or in the shadows. Now, what will be the upshot of all of this? Well, Blizzard hasn't banned boosting. They've banned cross-realm boosting communities. And they used some pretty vague language in their policy change. To me, this suggests that they are wanting to keep their enforcement options open. They will probably be monitoring the communities, the people who are made up the communities closely, and be ready to come down with a ban hammer on anyone who tries to circumvent or too cleverly try to circumvent a new policy. They've said that it's okay for guilds and individuals to boost if you're using the provided in-game tools. So essentially, if you can find a group, find your boosters, and do everything through stuff that's available in the game, so trade chat, doing all the communication, and you're getting the payment and the boost from the same account, I think that's going to be quite important, because they specifically mentioned escrow services as something that they wanted to specifically avoid. So I think that's going to be how you do boosting, and obviously boosting is still going to exist because the same gameplay systems exist. People are going to want to max their vaults, they're going to want to slam out a plus 15 on their recently dinged level 60 as soon as humanly possible, because that's the best way to gear up. So they're still going to be boosting, obviously. At what scale? That's a good question. Probably at a smaller scale, because it's now going to be a lot harder to do boosting. Distribution is a very hard problem in general, in business, in real life, in WoW as well. Particularly for a service like this, how do you trust that the people you're buying a boost from are good enough to boost you effectively? How do you trust that they'll deliver, because you probably have to trade them beforehand, or how do they trust that you're going to pay them? How do you find buyers effectively as a booster? All of these things are things that the boosting community did very, very, very effectively. And now they have to make do without that. They have to make do without that. So I think some big winners are going to be the absolute top guilds. They have the brand names, right? They have the brand name. So they can still, people will know that if they buy a boost from Liquid or Echo or Big Dumb Gaming or any of the other like top 10, top 20 guilds, or even just the most reputable guild on your realm, then they're going to be, that's going to feel safe. So people are going to be willing to do that. The most hardcore guilds probably have the manpower to just fill out a full boosting raid by themselves. They can just tell their raiders, particularly if it's something they need for the massive gold that they spend on world first raiding. They can just tell you, okay guys, on Tuesday we're doing boost runs. I expect you to be here from 4 to 8 or whatever, and just run people through AOTC or whatever. Or they're going to bring one or two mythic buyers on their mythic clears, which they do anyway because they gear up a lot of characters during farm, both to hone their skills and to have characters ready for the next patch. So obviously, who's going to be worse off? Boosters from smaller guilds, one-off mythic plus boosters, anyone who can't get into or don't have the brand recognition, or will find it hard to get that. Also people on small realms, both boosters and people looking to buy boosts, going to be a lot harder without the cross realm communities helping facilitate cross realm boosting. It's probably going to be possible, but it's going to be a lot harder for those two people to find buyers and do it effectively. So that's going to be, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. That's definitely going to have an effect on the economy. And speaking of effects on the economy, this is obviously going to have effects on the economy. But what the effect will be, that's pretty hard to guess or figure out. At least in my opinion, it's a very hard thing to figure out. The token price might be affected, probably will, but so far it doesn't seem like it's had much of an effect, at least not on EU. And in my opinion, you could make strong, or at least coherent and logical sounding arguments to support any position on what you think is going to happen to the token price. You can make a good argument for why it's going to go down, you can make a good argument for why it's going to go up, or you can make a good argument for why it's going to stay roughly the same. And it all depends on what you think, or potentially know, about who were buying and who were selling tokens, how many were people buying and selling. So we can hash out some of the arguments. The arguments for the token price going up is that since there's now less boosting to be bought, gold is now objectively less valuable since you can't effectively buy a boost with it, which means that you have less incentive to pay real money for a token because gold is less valuable. So then you're not going to do that because you don't have a boost to buy anymore. So then fewer people are going to buy tokens with real money, and then the price is going to go up because there's going to be fewer tokens available for sale. And then eventually, maybe it's worth it again when the price has gone up for people looking to buy gold. So that's the argument for why the price could go up. Obviously, why could the price go down? Well, maybe maybe someone needs to buy a lot of... there's a lot of reasons for that. Like people, maybe the communities were buying a lot of tokens, could be the case, or that they were spending money moving gold around. Doubt they were spending real life money, or perhaps it was just like the gold. Now that the boosters don't get as much gold, they're not going to buy WoW tokens for gold anymore. So a huge group of potential WoW token gold buyers are now no longer WoW token gold buyers. So they will either quit the game or start paying with money again, unless they can get back into boosting. And obviously you could have that both of these effects cancel each other out and the price isn't changed at all. Or it could be some other things as well. Maybe maybe the problem of moving gold around gets a lot harder now. And some people will need to spend more money or more gold on tokens to move guilds around, for instance. Now, one thing I know, which is kind of interesting, is that a lot of the boosting communities are currently, they're trying to liquidate, obviously. They're paying out all the gold that the boosters are owed. Generally, they pay 2 to 3 weeks after the fact, based on a pretty intricate accounting system. But the problem for them right now is that most of the boosters are generally concentrated on a few realms. Most of the people who are really good at the game, they are playing on the high popular raiding realms on their region. But buyers can be spread out across the entire region. So generally speaking, the boosting communities, they don't have enough gold on the big popular realms where most of the boosters are to pay. Because all their gold is stuck on smaller realms, or a lot of the gold that they have left over is stuck on smaller realms. They're trying to find solutions now. They'll have to do it quickly, probably, so they get it done before Blizzard starts taking issue with this. I'm sure, like, I know that the boosting communities also have, like, Blizzard contacts that audit their books. So presumably, like, the more reputable ones are going to be, like, in touch with community managers and be like, we are in the process of shutting down, but we're going to need a week or two more to actually pay off the last of our boosters and get rid of our gold balance, and they'll probably be allowed to do that. If you're willing to take the risk and you have a lot of gold on some high pop realms and you don't particularly care what realm you have gold on, then it might be worth taking contacting some of these boosting communities if you can. I'm not personally going to do that, and obviously with the boosting communities being against the policy and in terms of service now, you are going to take some risks, so I'm not going to suggest doing that. But for the unscrupulous among us, that's obviously a possibility. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when the dust settles. I've enjoyed having trade chat again, even though it's filled with all of the usual stupidity, the memes, the stupid item link and ability link jokes and incendiary political takes and insults and all of the stuff that trade chat used to be about. I've enjoyed that. We'll see how long it lasts. But it's been fun to read people again. Even though they aren't trading, it's at least makes you feel like you're playing a game with real players instead of playing a game where the chat channels are just filled with bots, essentially. Because advertisers are effectively bots. They're just sitting in a major city, clicking their trade chat spam macro every once in a while. So their entire interaction with the game is essentially just a bot. So I've enjoyed having trade chat back. I'm not someone who engages in Trade Chat as a major trading channel because I just prefer blasting stuff on the auction house, but it's fun to see people talk about meaningless stuff in Trade Chat again. So then we have the other thing, the cross-faction raiding M plus arena. This is coming in 9.2.5, so it's a little bit down the line. And obviously this is going to be great for the game, in my opinion, because the faction balance had reached a tipping point quite a while ago. If you care about endgame content at all, you are ridiculously hamstringing yourself if you're playing Alliance or if you're playing Horde on Oceania. And the hardest boss in the game is the roster boss for any raiding guild. So limiting yourself to a much smaller pool, that's just going to make it harder for you. The same for M+. Like the hardest boss is the roster boss. So getting access to a larger pool of players to play with is just great for the game, for endgame activities. I've seen some people be really mad at this from a lore point of view, which just strikes me as completely ludicrous. Because first of all, the feature is opt-in. So if you want to RP as some orc who really hates the Alliance still, you can do it. You can just not opt in and just play with the other hordies or the other way around. If you want to be an Alliance, a human mage that hates the Horde, you can do that. That's fine. You don't have to opt in. You can still RP as someone who doesn't like the other faction. But for everyone who's engaging in the endgame systems, the ability to actually find groups or play a Alliance character and still find M plus groups is going to be pretty large deal to making the game more fun to play. So yeah, I'm excited because I'm a gnome main, so finally I can go back to my hilariously small looking idiotic race, and this is particularly going to make all of the Horde purists really, really mad. So hopefully they make cross-faction guild so I can be like a full-fledged member of the guild as like a gnome. That's my dream at least. Now this obviously has a potential economic effect as well. Once this releases, do you think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to do faction and race changes? Because I think there's going to be a lot of people who do faction and race changes when this comes out. So we should see... I'd expect the tokens to spike up around that time. For sure. Because there's a lot of people who have been playing Horde on UNNA. Simply to have access to good guilds and M plus groups. And some of them are going to swap back because there's a lot of people who are playing Horde who'd rather play an Alliance race if they could, without jeopardizing their ability to do the stuff in game that they enjoy. So I expect a lot of people to buy faction changes, and if in 10.0 they finally figure out how to do cross-faction guilds, which is the logical next step and almost a necessity to make this really successful, or they can beef off the community feature, of course, because you can be in a cross-realm or cross-faction community, then we might see even more people swapping over. So the last thing I wanted to mention today is that I have recently started on a new sort of challenge, or a new chapter, new endeavor. I've decided to up the ante for 9.2 and add the second realm with legendaries. And I don't have that much gold on this realm as far as the legendary market is concerned. I have about 1.3, 1.4 million. And I'm essentially starting from scratch. I don't have a single leveled legendary recipe. I leveled my first character on this realm to 60 today. I do have a level 50 and a level 49 ready to go. So I just need to level one more to level 60. But this is going to be interesting. I'm writing the first blog post on this. It's going out to early access this week to my patrons, and then coming out next week where I sort of outline my general plan. Planning to do some videos as well. I'm not going to cover it much except for saying that that I'm doing it, and that's going to be quite exciting. And I think it's going to be quite instructional for many people who are considering, is the legendary market worth it if you enter right now? I personally think so, which is why I'm doing it. And you can see how I'm going about entering it, and potentially you can even learn if it works or not, my approach before 9.2. So that's gonna be exciting. So, guys, that's going to be it for me this week. Unless we get some questions in the chat. I see we have one question there from Wura, but it's with the link for the Mobile Warcraft game, so I don't have the... Can't read that live on air. But yeah, thanks for watching, listening, and or tuning in any way you prefer. You can always find these episodes on YouTube, Spotify, as well as most podcast platforms if you just point them to my website and look for the RSS feed. Or just search for World of Goldcraft on any podcast service. You can find it there and blast it into whatever listening device you prefer. So with that, I want to give a huge shout out to my patrons. Thank you so much for making this a possibility. And I wish you all a profitable week, and we'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye.